come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with the twins has come back.
But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Take out that garbage.
Yeah, Todd, you heard Grandma. Take out the garbage.
And we're back. Welcome, everybody, to Jazzless World International radio show on Dirty Basement Live. And yes, I said international, not Philly, New York, LA, but international. I'm your host, Jazzo, the Celebrity Media King, and the show is going to be like every other show. Bananas. Oh, man, what a weekend I had. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Oh, man, you just got to stay focused sometimes, guys, and whatever you put in the atmosphere will definitely come back to you. Had a good, good weekend. And we'll talk about that a little later. One of our co-hosts, Ms. Goddess Legba, she's just out live. So she'll be calling us from different venues to let us know what's going on in Philadelphia. As well as we have the Poetry King of the South. I'm about to introduce him real quick and bring him on. And then we're going to introduce our special guest. And she's doing big things. This is the tearing up. Like, she's like the next Oprah. So y'all got to watch out for her. But right now I'm going to bring out King Cole. Then what we're going right into what we talk about. Growth, development, and positivity. All right? King Cole, what's up, bro? How you doing?
What's going on? What's going on, world? How you doing, Jazzo? How are we doing tonight?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Good.
Just living.
Hey, man. Oh, that's
man.
All you can do. Be blessed.
Yes, sir. Yes,
encouraged.
Sir.
Encouraged. You know, you see somebody standing still knowing they could be nudged, don't nudge them. Tackle them. Push them ahead.
Yo, you stupid. But yo, let me introduce our first guest because she's on right now. She called from LA, right? And follow me as we interview because she's, yo, I'm talking about she's beautiful in every sense of the word. She's killing it. Well, this is the right here, Miss Tanisha. Miss V. Grant, I'm going to call her. V. Grant. Yo, she done did the Emmys. The Oscars, the Tonys, what else? She did everything. The Globes, I think the American Music Awards, the Grammy, like you name it, the NAACP. She do all of them. She's a multi award winning journalist, entertainment journalist. You know what I mean? I put the adjective on there because that's what she say. But I would say journalist. She's just international. She's global. She's worldwide and very good at it. So without further ado, we ain't going to keep on talking. We're going to bring her on so she can tell y'all how she got into it, why she do it, and how some of you young women and men can maybe get into the field and do good. All right? Well, we're going to bring her on right now. Miss Tanisha. Tanisha, welcome to Jazzless World International. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I actually pronounce my name Tanisha with a very soft I, like dish, kiss, you know.
Uh-huh.
So
and
it's Tanisha.
And I am so
Tanisha Laverne Grant.
Look. And I've been saying Tanisha. I'm like, look. I'm so excited to have you on there. I'm saying your name wrong, so I apologize.
It's okay.
And y'all
you know
heard
what?
It. Y'all heard
it's
it.
A very, it's common. It's common. And, you know, I grew up, I spent my entire life with, you know, having to challenge people on pronouncing my name the way that it's intended to be pronounced. So it's okay. And there are women who pronounce their, who spell their name the exact same way, and they pronounce it the way that you've said it. So I totally get it. But you know,
no, I know somebody that's their name like that too.
Yeah, you know, so I so get it. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm definitely honored and humbled. It's always great, you know, to speak with other journalists, you know, and to break bread and share ideas and to keep, you know, our narratives healthy and strong and to keep control of our narratives. And the way that we do that is by talking with one another. So thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Thank you. It was a blessing. I thought about you, and I want to apologize for the last time we had technical difficulties, and it just it was even our communication sucked. So I definitely want to apologize to you because I looked at it as the enemy trying to stop progress.
Oh,
you know what
well,
I mean?
Thank you so much. I'm here now. We're here now. You know, so, you know, I'm ready to roll. Whatever questions you want to ask, I'm here. You know, like you said, I am an entertainment journalist. I started out, you know, my career began when I was a 16-year-old student. Can you believe that? Yeah.
Wow.
I grew up outside of Philly in a small town called Chester, Pennsylvania. For people who are familiar with the Philadelphia area, Chester is about not even a 15-minute drive outside of Philly. Very small town. You know, it's a town that has its troubles. You know, there are some blighted areas and there are some beautiful areas, but you know, Chester, unfortunately, you know, has been known and documented as one of the most, you know, violent cities in the country. But even, you know, in that environment, you know, I don't like to call myself a rose out of concrete. I just had a very specific upbringing that challenged the social strata that was attached to the city of Chester. You know, I grew up with both my mother and father. You know, my father and I are both alums of Cheney University of Pennsylvania, the oldest HBCU, you know, founded in 1837. So my father went there and graduated, and then I went there and graduated 20 years later. You know, and so these are the stories that you really don't hear a lot about coming out of the city of Chester, but they do exist. You know, and so my parents were very, you know, they advocated, you know, for me and my siblings to be excellent. You know, and everything that we did, you know, they allowed us a space to be free and to be creative and to challenge things that we may have heard about or read about in the news. And, you know, by the time I was a high school student, there was an opportunity for me to apply to be a participant in the KYW News Studies program. And KYW is a radio and television station in Philly, downtown Philly, located on Market Street, and they were looking to bring in students to teach students about, you know, television and journalism and radio. And I applied, and among, like, I think there were like maybe 300, maybe even 600 students. I can't really recall the exact number, but it was open to students who were in the tri-state area, even further north. I just know there were students coming from all over: Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, New York. And the final selection was about maybe 25 of us, and I was selected amongst the 25. Yeah, so the first time I stepped foot into a newsroom, I was a baby girl. I was 16 years old, and you know, I had the opportunity to study, you know, pioneers in the space like Beverly Williams, who was on the news at that time, was just so beautiful and so elegant and eloquent in the way she delivered Ooh. News. Yeah, and I got a chance to study under her, and it was fantastic. And, you know, part of our final presentation was to do a news story, and, you know, I got to be on the microphone, and I got to hear my voice back, and to hear your voice back come over state-of-the-art television equipment in the fourth largest market in the news industry, I was sold. At 16, I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I want to do. And so, you know, I went, of course, you know, I was still in high school. I was in the 11th grade when I got this opportunity. And then the next year, I became editor-in-chief of our high school newspaper called The Welcome, which was a wonderful experience. I was, you know, an editor who oversaw a staff of about maybe 25 young writers. You know, so even at that young age, I had the opportunity to exercise my leadership muscle and, you know, be accountable for a team of that size. You know, so that was really great. And then I went on to college, and, you know, I initially went to Edinburgh University first, and then I transferred to Cheney, where my dad went. Actually, my dad also went to Edinburgh, so I followed directly in his footsteps. I went on to Cheney, and then when I got to Cheney, I majored in communication arts, and under that umbrella, we studied radio, television, film, and newspaper writing. You know, it was kind of like a rotation. Each semester, you had to focus on radio, and then the next semester, you focused on film, and then the next semester, you focused on, like, documentary, and you had to do a full-out project, you know, for each concentration, you know, and so that definitely helped color me, in terms of making sure that whatever area of concentration I decide to focus on, that I needed to be excellent in that area. And that to be a good speaker, you have to be a good writer, you know, and to be a good writer, mm-hmm. you have to read. You know, they all work in tandem, you know, and I think a lot of people don't realize that if you want to be an effective communicator, you have to read and you have to write, because words are the language. You know, I say to a lot of students who approach me about being in this industry, I'm like, you guys have so many tools. You have, you know, there are so many devices that can allow you to be a journalist right now. Like, you're a journalist right now. Pick up your phone, pick up your pen, your iPad, whatever it is that you use to communicate from, and start writing your news stories. And, you know, buy a domain and start your blog, and there you have it. You know, you're a journalist. You're a storyteller. Use your phone, and you can become what we call a citizen journalist. You know, so you have so many there's so many opportunities. But more importantly, you have to read, and you have to write, and you have to study. You have to study, 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 study. You know, during my years at Cheney, I got an internship at I did a few. I did one at Fox, WTXF Fox. I did one at CBS. Yeah. And then I did an internship at NBC 10. And it was at NBC 10 where I absolutely fell in love with the storytelling process. You're up NBC 10 right on City Line Avenue and Monument Road in Philly. Yep.
Yeah.
I used to live on Overbrook Avenue, not too far. Yep.
Oh, right down the street. I live right there at Belmont in Conshohocken.
Oh, my God. Neighbors, pretty much.
You're the Chili's. Down the street from Chili's.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Chili's. Good Lord. Good Lord. Yeah, it brings back so many memories. Yep, and the mall that was over there, Bella Kenwood.
You said something about Beverly Williams, right? You got to Beverly Williams.
Yeah, Beverly Williams was amazing.
That was one of my buddies. Like, yo, I met her back in the day. I was a dancer. I saw Will Smith. I danced with like Ice Cream T, Houdini, and I met her. She was so cool.
Wow.
That was the coolest woman I ever met.
Yeah, she was amazing. She was amazing. It was such a wonderful opportunity. Yep. And when I got to NBC 10, you know, I had the opportunity to work with and to learn from, you know, the late Sheila Allen Stevens, and I learned from Arthur Fennell, and I learned from Renee Chenault-Fatah, who continues to be a mentor of mine till this very day. And I had the opportunity to just to study them and to sit up under their tutelage, and it was wonderful because, you know, when I became an intern at NBC 10, it ultimately became a full-time job. My internship became a full-time job. I became an overnight assignment editor, and I was the youngest person in the fourth largest market working as an assignment editor in TV, in television news. And, you know, I didn't really look at it as a big deal back then, but damn, that was a pretty big deal. You know, that was a pretty big deal. And, you know, it just, everything you do matters, you know, and you have to learn to be strategic. You have to take yourself serious. You can't think that because you're young that, you know, you have your whole life ahead of you, because you really don't. The clock goes by so fast. You look up, you're 25, 35, 45, 55. I mean, you want to be able to sit down and hone in on what your skills are and develop them to excellence and execute accordingly, you know, and I like to think that's what I did. You know, I knew that I wanted to work in story. I didn't know exactly, you know, how. I do know that I wanted to work in television and film. You know, I also pursued acting. I wanted to be an actress, and I am an actress. You know, and so, you know, there was a time while I was at NBC, because I spent about 5 years there, you know, from the time I was 19, you know, into my early 20s. You know, I was in that newsroom when the story about Tupac Shakur being killed, and I was in the newsroom when Biggie was shot, and I was in the newsroom when Princess Diana was killed. You know what I mean? I was a young woman at that time, and I was breaking all those stories. And I got to a point where I'm just like, wow, you know, there's so much death, so much violence. Some of the stories that I would cover in Philly were fires and funerals. I don't know if you remember the Germantown fire, the Lassiter children. There were seven little babies, children all under the age of like eight. You know, I cover that, and I'm just like, oh my God, like I just don't know if I want to be doing this for the rest of my life. I won't have a heart and soul if I keep covering this type of story. You know, and so I moved to Los Angeles. I got a little burned out from TV news, and I moved to L.A. and pursued acting, you know, and got a chance to work with some amazing directors like Oz Scott, who directed Providence.
Wow.
I got a chance to, I got a chance to be on set every day. I was working as an extra, you know, and I can remember, like, my friends would, you know, almost kind of clown me, like, oh, you working as a little extra. But meanwhile, I was on set every day. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, well, you don't want to do extra work, but you're not getting booked regularly. You know what I mean? But meanwhile, as an extra, I get to be on set every day, and I get to learn every day of what it means, you know, to reverse a shot, you know, who's a stand-in, different lightings. I got to learn all of the language, all of the film vernacular that, you know, comes in handy today when I'm on the red carpet interviewing these actors, these writers, these producers, these directors. I live that life, and I can hold an intellectual conversation about their journey. You know, I can ask an actor, what was it like the first time you stepped on the sound stage in character, walking out of your trailer? Because I've lived that, and that's an authentic question, and it comes from a healthy place. You know, and so I tie in everything that I've done. All of my experiences are some total of who I am today. You know, and I tell anybody that wants to do this business, you know, again, it just goes back to the basics and fundamentals of studying. You know, I study my craft. You know, yes, you know, I'm an entertainment journalist. Yeah, that's it's niche, and I love it. But I wouldn't be a great entertainment journalist if I wasn't a great journalist overall. You know, if I wasn't skilled in asking thought-provoking questions that, you know, not only makes sense to the person to whom I'm asking the question, but it makes sense to the audience and it makes sense to the culture overall. Because what you have to realize as a journalist, especially as somebody, you know, who's writing narrative and you're talking and you're on camera, everything that comes out your mouth is permanent. It's forever. It's now document and it's now a part of your legacy. You know what I mean? So you want to be very careful of what is coming out of your mouth, which leads me to the point of, you know, working independently. I own all of my content. I license and distribute and contribute my content across various multimedia platforms globally. And it allows me to keep control of my voice. So, you know, as long as I'm able to continue to find the resources to move my brand, you know, I'm just going to continue to grow my brand as an independent. You know, I will definitely, you know, like to work with other outlets, of course, other bigger outlets. But I do pride myself on being able to have ownership of my voice, of my person, of my body in this space. You know, when I'm on a red carpet, I don't have to worry about a producer being in my ear and asking me to ask some question that's so superficial and vapid, and sometimes borderline ignorant sometimes, you know. You know, I don't have to worry about those kinds of things, and that excites me about, you know, my work. Yeah. So any questions, comments, anybody want to add anything?
That was a good lifestyle. That was something that was, you know, that's intriguing to anyone, and I can appreciate that. You know, when you put yourself in that, wanted to be a journalist, that made me more of like, you know, that sounds about right, because I love the way you talk too. You do present yourself very well. Now,
thank you.
I guess the question is now. You're very welcome. I guess the question is now is, as a child, when you wanted to become a journalist, would you have done the journalism in school and then built your confidence from that, or was it something where you just said, okay, well, I'm following my father, or I just want to feel this, and okay, so Did you join a newspaper and things like that, like you said? I believe you said it, but I wasn't quite sure if I heard it. Did you join a newspaper?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was editor-in-chief of our school newspaper. Yeah, absolutely. You know, everything that I've been doing my entire life has led me to where I am today, you know, from – you know, watching television, but watching television with a third eye, kind of, as people, you know, like to talk about their third eye, I guess, with all these different, you know, chakras and all that. But I would watch television as a storyteller. You know, I paid attention to scenes. I paid attention to movie flubs and continuity and things like that. When I watched film, it was the same thing, you know, so I was always able to watch movies as a student of the craft, you know, and not just somebody who was looking to be entertained. I was looking to be educated, you know, and so I would watch, I mean, in anything. We would go over to my grandmother's house on a Sunday and, you know, we would watch, you know, Five Heartbeats or Mahogany or, you know, Spike Lee movies, you know, and for me, it was class. It was a workshop, you know what I mean? I was watching the lighting, you know, and, you know, I could talk about Spike Lee and how he likes to do these moving shots where it looks like he's moving, but it's not. You know what I mean? Right. Or I can talk about F. Gary Gray and how he's known for his aerial shots. You know, understand? You know, I can talk about, you know, the late John Daniel Singleton and how his focus is black culture and black life and the divine femininity and black women. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't – it's hard for me to watch – television, you know, or film, or read a book, and not absorb it like a student, you know. So I'm always a student of the craft, and I think that's important, is to be a student of the craft. I mean, ask yourself questions when you're listening to an interview, when you're watching, you know, Nightline, Dateline, you know, write down a word that's not familiar to you, or write down a word that you don't use in your vocabulary all the time. You know, and then go back and review that word and incorporate that in your language, you know. That's how I function. You know, when I'm reading the book, I'm writing down words that I'm not familiar with, you know, and writing down words that I need to be using more frequently. You know, because there's no greater power than the power of how we communicate. You know, there's no greater power than that. And that's be it verbally or written. You know, how you communicate, is it goes before you. It goes before you, you know. And I think that's, you know, that's something that every young person who wants to be in this business should understand. Again, is it goes back to writing. It goes back to speaking. I mean, I took courses, you know, in public speaking. When I was in college, I was a member of Toastmasters International, you know, which is an organization that focuses and grooms you to be a dynamic public speaker, a dynamic orator. And that's what you want to be. I mean, you know, some of your greatest politicians and pastors and bishops and clergy, you know, are all men and women who have studied public speaking, who have studied acting, writing, all of that. All of those components go into making you a great storyteller and an effective communicator. You know, so take a course. You know, go online. You know, find the free ones. You know, they're all out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're all out there. But
I definitely,
you know, from a young girl, you know, watching the news with my mother and father. I mean, my dad would get the big thick Philadelphia Inquirer and he would ask me to analyze the political cartoons, you know. And I can remember, you know, lamenting about that. I'm like, Daddy, are you serious? Like, I'm just trying to eat my Fruity Pebbles. You know, and he's like, no, I want you to analyze what you think this cartoon means. And it's so funny because fast forward, now I am a young woman at Cheney University. I'm running for Miss Cheney. And one of the questions, you know, during our, like, preliminary judging process was that I had to analyze a political cartoon. You know, and I was able to do it flawlessly, to a flawless finish, and the other contestants couldn't even do it, you know. And so it's just like, you know, I thank my dad for having enough forethought, you know, and being just ambitious in his parenting, you know, to want me and my sister, you know, to be great and to be exceptional. And he didn't care how old we were. He was just like, you're going to analyze this political cartoon, you know. And so it just became common. It just became common. Like, you know, whenever my father was in a mood, you'd be like, okay, well, you know, I want you to go and study, you know, Marcus Garvey's speech, or study, you know, something from, you know, how a bill becomes a law, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff, you know, and memory is important too. You have to be able to develop your memory, you know. When I'm on a red carpet and I'm interviewing a lot of celebrities, you know, I'm able to have an organic conversation with them. It's not even really an interview. It's a conversation. That's because I've studied their work. And I didn't study their work, you know, overnight or on the red carpet 2 minutes before they hit my mic. I've been studying their work my entire life. You know, I've been studying the work of Alfre Woodard and Lawrence Fishburne and Halle Berry and Denzel Washington and Angela Bassett and Glenn Close and Meryl Streep and Dustin Hoffman. You know what I mean? So that I can have a very organic conversation with them, you know, and that is what great journalism is. It's not just sitting down and having an interview and attacking your interviewee with a barrage of one question after another. It's sitting down with them, getting them to, you know, reveal the softness of who they are. And that's your job as a journalist, to make them very comfortable, to bring their guard down. And you bring that guard down by discussing, you know, something they did when they were a kid. And, oh, I read online that, you know, you're a part of this organization and you have this cause, or you send flowers to the elderly, or you deliver meals. And, you know what I mean? That is how you break them down, and that's how you begin to have a very organic conversation. Yeah.
That's what that's definitely. We're going to take a break, guys, right now, and we're going to come back and we're going to finish with Ms. Grant, because I'm loving what I'm hearing. I'm like, wow.
You just teach me a whole lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Mr. Cole, you know what we do every week before we take our break? You got to bless us with one of them poems, and then we're going to take a break and listen to one of our own artist, the first lady of Jazz's World International, Miss Red, with Leave Me Alone. But right now, we're going to listen to words of inspiration, some poetry, some spoken word from King Cole. All right?
This time, my life took me to another trance. It was easy for me. Sometimes, in that moment, I was congratulate myself and just have a little dance. But I had to change myself, only for the good of my kids. Because the things I was doing out there on the streets wasn't what I wanted them to do, because I was forbidden. I wanted something better for my children, so I decided to work myself to death, do things, you know, so I can tell them what's right. But somehow my life got caught up in that trampoline, trying to live a good life and being with all the thug niggas. Sorry, thug next. Of course, I was one of them, so really, I don't have no disrespect. But things change when you actually grow up and see something that you really needed to see. Someone that's going to humble you, make you the person that you really want to be. So as for me, you know, thank you, Jazzo. Thank you, my beautiful home. Thank you, my beautiful family, for bringing me home. Yes.
Okay, bro. I'm liking that. You amaze me every week, bro. You amaze me every week.
Nice.
But right now we're gonna take that. That's the introduction to our break every week, guys. And I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in. When we come back, we're gonna finish talking to Ms. Grant because there's a couple more questions we definitely want to ask. And I have my own executive producer. Both of them are on the line, and I know they have to ask you some questions. That's the COO and the CIO of Devil's World International Incorporated. So they definitely want to ask you a couple questions. So we're gonna take this break real quick and come right back. We got like 3 minutes. Go to the bathroom. Go get something to eat. Do what you do. But you better come back. You know this is internet, right? The first lady of Jazzo's World International Incorporated, and also Ms. Afro Latino, Ms. Red, with Leave Me Alone.
Go on, boy. Why you always call me on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Go on, boy. Go on, boy. Why you always call me on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Go on, boy.
I think it's been a few months since I left you, but you call me anyway. Asking all these questions, I'm confused. You should know that it's too late.
You're trying to play me. I moved on. His name is David. Why don't you go call up Stacy? You've been posting her up lately, dragging my name to your friends. That's shady. They tell me they wanna date me, put you in my box. That's crazy, and you still calling me baby. Shit is sick. You washed and basic. I'm so good. Rather go fuck chasing. Keep it pushing. I'm not chasing, baby boy. Time's up. Stop waiting. Ping. Telling people you don't want me back. You know that that's not fact. Wanna talk to my friends, that's cool. That's not my business, boo. You lost this bedtime too. Thinking I'ma get back with you. You so dumb, you's a fool. Oh, oh. Go on, boy. Why you always call me on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Go on, boy.
Should be on a runway. When we fucking, you be busting like gunplay. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, look, Sunday. Girl, I'm on my mind every day. Worth every dime on the line, what I say. Pussy delicious, put that on the plate. Bang it, looking good, rub that in my face. I don't really handcuff or arrest none. Dick him down, I be going when the sex done. Clothes on, then I'm going to the next one. But stuck around, hunt you down, you the best one. I sold you from lanes like burglary. I got them hoes off surgery. I'm burning up, lay a third degree. I killed the pussy, but it burned me.
Go on, boy. Why you always call me on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Why you always on my phone, boy? Go on, boy. Go on.
There you have it. First Lady Rez with Alone Boy with Joe Reese Welcome back to Jazzo's World International on Dirty Basement Radio. I'm your host, Jazzo, the Celebrity Media King, as well with King Coles and our guest, Ms. Grant. Before we talk back with Ms. Grant, I've got to give a shout-out real quick, because Ms. Grant is getting a lot of love, and a lot of people are DMing me, so I've definitely got to give them a shout-out. And the first one, Ms. Nikki from Southwest Philadelphia, Nikki Childs. So I definitely want to give
Nikki.
Her shout out. She works with young ladies as well. She mentors, so got to give her a shout out. Then we have Nika, is a performing artist. She models, sing, and is a rapper, and she is a lupus warrior. This is the fight lupus as well, and she's from Washington D.C. Then we have Robin Porter, the goddess lioness is what they call her. Shout out to you, too. Then we have Mr. Ron Rips. Not Grips, but Rips. Shout out to him. Then we have one of our executive producers, Mr. Travis Ware. That's going to be asking some questions in a minute. Got to give him a shout out. And Ms. Kimmy. My godbrother is showing some love. He like what he's hearing. Mr. Ice, also music producer. Then we have one of our business partners, Mr. Fat Steve, the OG and Fat Steve Adventures, excuse me, in the Hood Tunes. So Steve gave us some love. Then we have Vicious Marcus, one of our new partners out there in L.A., he gave us a shout out, as well as Nubian Goddess. And we have Fancy Forever, Miss Sharon Robertson. And then I got to give a shout out to Lion Gate Gym every week. And they're from Zurich, Switzerland. Thank y'all guys so much. Regardless, y'all guys always show us some love, as well as Sarah C. up in Australia. And Australia have been following us a lot. Australia and Austria have been following us a lot. And we also have Italy. So thank you guys a lot. And I got a shout out to the UK and Mr. Lee over there, hip hop artist over there, that definitely been putting in work and promoting us and telling people that we're doing positive things. So you keep up the good work and much success with everything you're doing. And right now we're gonna go right back into the show. We have two of the executive producers, and I know they want to ask you a question. So I'm gonna use Queen Latifah's one of my favorite songs from her and say ladies first. So I'm gonna put in the SD Nelson all real quick. Go ahead, SD. Do you have any questions?
Hello.
Yeah, we heard you. Hello.
Good,
yeah,
doing?
I'm here.
Hey,
I don't hear the question.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. My first question is, how do you feel about mainstream film industry as a whole, as opposed to the indie film industry?
I mean, both are equally important. I mean, it's important to have representation however we can have representation, right? I mean, some people, you know, their films don't have the opportunity to go right to mainstream, you know, so the underground or the independent sector is very critical in making sure that that filmmaker gets the exposure that it needs. The film gets the exposure that it needs. Sometimes it doesn't get the funding that it needs, but it gets the exposure, and sometimes getting the exposure will lead to funding. It can lead to, you know, crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, you know, which is what Spike Lee did a few years ago. And he got so much flack. I forget which film he was crowdfunding for. I don't know if it was, I think it was just Sweet Blood of Jesus, actually. He was doing some crowdfunding for that, and people were like, oh my God, you know, he's a major filmmaker, you know, why is he crowdfunding for this film? And, you know, truth be told, you know, a lot of Spike's films, you know, he had to, you know, go to his friends to make. When he did Malcolm X, you know, the studio pulled out. The studio pulled out in the middle of production, and he had to get on the phone and call his friends in position of power who were wealthy, like Magic Johnson and, you know, politicians and, you know, many athletes, you know, fellow actors, writers, and producers to put their money on Malcolm X to make sure that the film got done. So, you know, I say however you get in, it's how you get in. I mentioned the late John Singleton earlier in the interview, and, you know, he was a young student coming out of USC film school, and his film went to mainstream, straight to mainstream. You know, he had a wonderful producer named Stephanie Allon. Stephanie Allon happens to be producing the Academy Awards this year, you know, so how poetic is that? You know, but John's film went straight to mainstream. It didn't go underground. You know, he was a young student. He was selected, I think, from Creative Artists Agency to be a part of their, like, filmmaking series or something of that nature. And he was selected and groomed. You know, so his film, The Boys in the Hood, you know, which became an iconic film in this space. I mean, till this day, you know, John Singleton is still the youngest person and the first African-American ever nominated for an Academy Award, you know, for Best Director and Best Screenplay for Boys in the Hood. And that was a film that went straight to mainstream, you know. And then you have a lot of independent films, you know, that are getting critically acclaimed. So it's just like there is no, you know, one way. It's just the way that works for you and the way that is working for you. You know, and sometimes you have to switch your formula, which is what Spike Lee has done. You know, he's done mainstream films, and then he's had films where he's just like, you know, I have to do this the independent route. You know, and the platforms are always there. Times are always changing. They're ever changing, and you have to keep your voice current, and you have to keep your narrative moving by any means necessary. You know, we have a lot of young filmmakers who are coming into the space, and of course, you know, they could care less about mainstream. They're making their films and they're putting them on YouTube and they're getting a deal, you know, or they're owning a company, a distribution company themselves. They're like, you know what, I'm going to license and distribute this under my own production company. You know, you have Will Smith and Jada Pinkett who have Overbrook Films, you know, which is a big deal. You know, so there's just more than one way to skin a cat in this business. There is no, you know, is, you know, going the indie route better or going mainstream route is better. What works better is how you get your film out there. You know, what may work for you may not work for another filmmaker. Everybody's walk is different. Everybody's path is different. Everybody has a different trajectory. And so you have to lean into what works for you. But lean into it long enough to see a result. Don't just give up because it's not working for you right away or on your human timetable, you know, because the arts just doesn't work like that. Success doesn't work like that. It's a series of small steps. It's a series of many sacrifices. You know, and I think that's what people need to understand most about, you know, not just even being into, you know, whether or not I should pursue like the indie route or I should pursue mainstream and getting a deal with the studio, because those are hard to get. We know that. But just being in this industry is difficult either way. And so you just have to find the way that works for you and you have to stay consistent. Consistency trumps everything. It almost doesn't matter what route you go. Because you just need to be consistent. If you're not consistent, then it doesn't matter whether or not you're doing the indie route or doing the mainstream route. Neither one of them are going to work if you're not consistent long enough to see it through.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I hope that helps answer your question. What was your next question?
Oh, I didn't. That was I have just one question.
Oh, okay. All righty.
Yes.
Well, all the best of luck to you. All the best of luck to you. I wish you well.
Thank you. But I just wanted to hear you say that because of where you come from, and I know how it is being a producer in the indie film realm, you know. I can attest to what you were saying earlier and all of what you were saying. So I hope those young filmmakers out there listen closely to what you're saying. because everything
you
said is absolutely true. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Continue blessings and much success to you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, I don't know how to explain it. You really inspired me. I don't do film, but now I think I can do it, you know.
You're
wow.
funny.
I know, right? No, but I'm really intrigued by your knowledge of the filmmaking and the journalism. And what
Thank
you actually
you.
Taught us today. You actually taught us.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you. Thank you.
And,
someone else had a question?
So,
other producer is on. Our other producer, Mr. Travis, he's a little quiet. That's my beast right there. That's my advisor also. He's crazy. I'm saying it live on the radio. I'm saying it on the radio too, Travis. I ain't scared of you, man.
Y'all are funny.
How's it going? How's it going, everybody?
We're all great. We're all fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. First of all, Ms. Grant, I think it's a very much pleasure to having you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here with you gentlemen and ladies tonight. Thank you.
And my question is, being in the entertainment industry, what would you tell someone that's been burnt out in the industry? What advice would you give them to get back into the industry and not give up?
You know, as artists, we all come to the canvas sometimes and we feel like we don't have anything on our brush to paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all come to the canvas once in a while feeling like there's just nothing we can add to it. And when you get to that point, it's okay to take a break. It really is. You know, artists, you know, creatives, entrepreneurs, whatever field you're in, you get burned out. You get burned out being a parent. You know what I mean? You get burned out being a wife or a husband. You get burned out. We're humans, and sometimes enough is enough. And it's important to listen to you, listen to what your spirit is telling you, listen to what your body is telling you, and to take a step back. You know, a lot of times we continue on even when we shouldn't because we're trying to fulfill, you know, somebody else's fantasy or expectation of who we are or what we should be doing, and that's a detriment to us. You know, in this culture of social media, everybody wants to look like they're popping and everybody wants to look like they're hot. Meanwhile, you know, your house is burning down, you know, and I mean your house as in your body, as in your mental, as in your emotional state. And, you know, I'm the queen of stepping off. You know, I will step off. I'm like, I will go off the grid because nobody's more important to me than me. And if I'm going to be, you know, a person who considers themselves, you know, a thought leader, a game changer, then I have to take time for myself. If I want to put out product that's worthy of your eyes, you know, worthy of your time to view, then, you know, I have to take a step back when my body and my heart and my mind is calling for that, you know. And so I'm a big, 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 you know, advocate for anybody, you know, who wants to take time for self-care. Self-care is critical. You know what I mean? I mean, look at Sade. She goes away for decades and comes back when she feels like it to make an album, you know, that's just as successful as something she put out when she was 20 or 30 years old, you know. So it's important, you know, to put out quality work. It's not when your work is out. It's like when it is out, it's quality, it's excellence. You know, excellence trumps everything. It doesn't matter, you know, how frequent your excellence comes, but when it comes, it's excellent. You know what I mean? If the work is mediocre and you're putting it out every week, you know, keep that work because it's mediocre. You know, if you're only able to put out a story once a week or once a month and it's excellent, then that's the focus. The focus is always excellence, excellence, excellence. You know, it's not mediocrity. And burn, when you're burned out, the only thing you can produce is mediocre work. If not that, then something worse then, you know. So I know for me, I'm really focused on making sure, you know, my work is excellent, you know, and sometimes I have to miss out on certain things. And I don't even like to call it missing out, but, you know, I have to take a break. You know, I have to take a break. Taking that break is critical, you know, so it just all depends on, you know, what's important to you. Is it important to stunt for the gram and social media like you're always popping and your shit is always hot? Like, that's ridiculous. You know, I respect you more. I respect anybody who can say, you know what, I've had enough and I'm going to go off the grid for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, a year to do me. You know, that's so important. You know, and people need to hear that part. Everybody thinks they have to just keep going, 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 going for what? Going for what? Like, what are you going for? What's your end goal? Like, what's the plan? You know, so, yeah, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. So, you know, I tell people all the time, it's okay to take a break because the way you stay inspired is to have downtime to really reflect on everything that you've done and let your work inspire you and re-inspire you to come back to the canvas. But you can't get there if you're, like, trying to be on 100 all the time. You know, sometimes you just don't have it to execute. Sometimes you need to go back to the tool shed. Yeah.
Okay. I think you answered that question very well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
I am loving this show. You are so informative when you speak. It's like they ask the question and you flow with it. It's like, boom, ding. It's like, okay, all right.
God bless you, Jazzo. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
No, that's a blessing. You're blessing a lot of people. So that's definitely a good thing.
Oh, wow. Does anyone else have a question?
But everybody quiet now?
Yeah, everybody quiet. She
covered all ground.
Yeah, she covered everything, man.
Well, I do. I have a question. All right, now, what would you say to a young female or a young male trying to get into journalism? What advice would you give them?
You know, I tell young men and women every day to start today. Start today. If you want to be a journalist, you know, pick up your phone and become a journalist. You know, if you want to be, you know, young men and women come up to me all the time. They're like, oh, you know, I want to be an entertainment journalist. Okay, well, go to the movie theater and take your camera and then interview people, get what's called testimonials about what they thought of the movie. And then you tag the movie company and then you tag the actors on that interview. 59 seconds, 1 minute of a soundbite of somebody coming out of this brand new movie called Queen and Slim. You know, I don't know where the movie theaters are in Philly anymore, but, you know, if you go to, I don't know, the Rittenhouse and you stand outside and you ask somebody coming out, what did you think of Queen and Slim? You know, you get their permission. Do you mind being on camera? Do you mind speaking very briefly about Queen and Slim? And they go, oh, absolutely. I would love to talk about Queen and Slim. Oh, I thought the movie was absolutely amazing. I think the cinematography was awesome. I love the message. And then you put that on your social media. And then you tag the movie company. And you tag the actors. And you tag the production company. And you tag the sponsors. And the next thing you know, you may be invited to cover a press junket. You never know. But you start with all the resources that you have. Yeah, you know, and stop looking to blow up. Stop looking to be like, you know, this, you know, some caricature or, you know, this trope, and be a journalist. Like, be a journalist. Stop looking for the sexy and the glamour and focus on the work and the integrity of the work. You know, all that other stuff is secondary, you know. And what makes you sexy and what makes you glamour is the fact that you can do excellent work. There's nothing more sexy and glamorous than, you know, a beautiful woman being on a red carpet and talking crop circles around everybody. Like, that's sexy.
You shouldn't be telling them what I told you. Like, no.
Huh?
I said, you shouldn't be telling them that I told you that. I said you were sexy. You wouldn't tell them that I said that?
That you said what?
That you were sexy. because you was on the red carpet.
You're funny. No, baby, I know I'm sexy, but thank you if you think so, too. I'm being funny.
I know that. Look, I know that's right, because I'm the same way. I'm the same way. Shoot, I'm like, woo, what? If I ain't nothing else, I'm sexy. I know I'm sexy. I was born sexy.
Yeah.
I came out with, man.
Yep, yep. God is good. God is good. You know, play to all your strengths. But yeah, you know, just make sure you guys are following me and keeping up with my work. And, you know, I welcome commentary and questions. You know I'm covering a certain event. If you're following me and you have a question you want me to ask somebody, by all means, you know, let me know. I'm gearing up now, and I'll be flying back out to Los Angeles to cover the Golden Globes on January the 5th. So I'm super excited about that. It's going to be a great show, you know. So definitely when I start posting my content and, you know, about the Globes, you know, or just DM me, you know, message me. You know, my Instagram is my full name, Tanisha Laverne Grand. You know, and for those of you who want to advertise your brand, you know, I have advertising slots that are available where you can advertise your brand against any of my coverage, not just for the Golden Globes, but all of my award shows and press junkets and events. And, you know, message me. I can send you my marketing deck of what those rates are like. You know, right now I'm offering, you know, $500 for a social media post. So if you wanted to, you know, advertise your brand or your company, and it's something that I think falls in line with my philosophy of what it is that I do, you know, you can definitely advertise, you know, your company and your brand, you know, on my social media page. I have 10,000 organic followers, nobody bought, you know, on my Instagram. I have a blog that has about maybe 60,000 subscribers, and I have 11,000 subscribers on my LinkedIn, and I have another 10,000 followers on my Facebook. So, yeah. Yep. Advertise.
That's how you go. That's
yep.
how you go.
Yeah, so you need to advertise. You guys need to buy a slot. You guys need to buy a slot.
Yes, yes.
That's y'all need to buy a slot.
Because you know what I mean, you talked about the other day. I'm gonna throw you a couple things by the end of the week anyway. Would you ask me? So don't worry about that. I got you.
Yeah, give me your logo and all that stuff. Well, you have a lot of different logos.
Well, the main one is Dazzle's World International. And then I'm just pushing it because next year we have the wine, we have the TV show, and we have a clothing line.
Wow!
And then personally, I train and breed dogs. I have kind of corsos, and I breed and train them. And as we talk, and he came right over to me like, "Hey, what's up?" He's big behind. He's like 160 pounds, with a 36 inch head.
Ooh.
So.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, just, you know, whenever you're having events in Philly and, you know, you need somebody to be on a panel, if you're doing an event about, you know, radio, television, film, or entertainment panel, you know, keep me in mind. And if there's a budget, you know, I will definitely have my face in the place, you know. And for your listeners, you know, for all those who are in education, you know, who are looking for guest speakers to come in on Career Day, you know, please keep me in mind. You can follow me again, Tanisha Laverne Grant. You can email me at TanishaLaverneGrant@gmail.com. There's an E at the end of Laverne, you know, and follow me. Keep me in the
mind. Well, I got you on that because I definitely got you on that because I'm the block captain on my block, and then I'm about to be the committee person as well. They're trying to get me from the city commissioner, but I don't know about that. They're trying to hype me up on some other stuff. So, state rep. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. I love the kids, but I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, but. We gonna keep on mentoring like as we do, and I thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to chat with all of you.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you for introducing
yes,
me to your audience.
You.
Yeah,
God
and like
bless
I, like
you,
I said, please keep the conversation going. Message me. You know, let me know what you want to ask certain celebs, and I'll make sure you're tagged on the question. You know? So you guys enjoy the rest of your evening, and thank you so much for having me. Is that it? I can hang up now, Jazzo?
Yeah. Hey, yes,
I
mean,
nice.
You answered everything. You over here, look, I'm ready to call somebody. You know what I mean? Like you want to be a millionaire, you like, call a friend. Let me call. Hold on. I'm going to call a friend. You got any questions for her? Like, she didn't answer
yeah,
every damn
funny.
Thing, man. She didn't answer everything. What else you want to ask her?
Somebody
that's
have a
one
question?
Thing I love about you. You are very informative. I thought I was informative. You was like, blah, blah. Travis, look, if Travis and SD don't say nothing else, yeah, you can answer anything. They, look, they are my business partners. They my business partners. The look, the chief organizer. That's the chief information officer. And they both executive producers with film and otherwise. And they ain't acting. I'm like, he was quiet. He was like, oh, well, there you have it. Yep. He was like, okay. They ain't acting nothing else. I'm over here like,
funny.
Yo, it was like I was coming from England somewhere. I was like, hey, my goodness, this is some bull. I swear it is. I done got the Australian England, and this is some bull, I tell you. They ain't acting nothing. They be on my head like, I had to turn the DMX.
Well, I'm a guest, so I guess they're trying to just, you know,
be hospitable.
She covered a lot.
Yeah, you just gave me
thank
a whole
you, thank you, sir. Percent. Thank you. I really appreciate it. All right, well.
Gooey. Yeah, they being all nice. That's some bull, man.
Well, Jazzo, this was awesome. You have an amazing platform. You know, I wish you all the best. You know, and I look forward to partnering with you on, you know, on future events. You know, do an event together.
Yeah, I already got you with a couple. I'm just not saying it yet. I got a couple things. We have a female organization we're starting. We're starting in 2020 as well. So I definitely want you to be a part of that. It's called Feline. So we definitely want you to be a part of that.
Okay. Well, let me know.
Yeah, fashion show too. I got a fashion show. I want you to host. Then my birthday party, February the 8th. I definitely want you to come out to that. I got people coming from all over.
February the 8th. Yeah. Keep me posted. Because the Oscars are the next day, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that happen, but let me know.
All right.
You know, it seems like I'm all finished here. So, again, thank all of you for your time, and I wish you all the best and continued success in all your endeavors. And Jazzo will be in touch towards the end of the week.
True indeed. You have a blessed night.
All righty. Bye-bye now. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Oh man, that was great.
Oh, what I'm talking
that
about? What am I talking about? That's good.
That was
great, man. King Coles, not to cut off your wisdom. Where is our new artist on your phone? Did you get him?
He's on my phone. He's here now.
Hey, Bean, you better talk to your management team, player, because we ain't playing with you, Bean. Like, no, what's up, yo?
What's up, Jazzo? How's everybody?
I want everybody. Hold on real quick. Let me say this because I really do got to say this. We have a new artist, and he's a hip-hop artist, but I'm gonna say something because I really love what he do. King Cole's called me to he wanted to be a part of our team, whatever, and I really cut King Cole's off and said, "Welcome to the family," because the brother, he just loved what he do, very compassionate about it, and he's a lyricist. It's a big difference. being a rapper.
Yeah.
A rapper.
Big
rappers ain't nothing but rap. A rapper. Look, yeah. Listen to the word rap. Writer. Rapper. Writer. This brother raps. He's an MC. He's a lyricist. Freestyle. And he loves the culture. He lives it. It's a big difference. He lives it. It ain't about the fame or the fortune. It's about success.
You're still being
part of our team. So thank you for wanting to be a part of our team, because we see you as a blessing too.
Wow. That's what's up. Thanks, guys. Yo, man. Thanks. I'm in awe, man. I mean, like, it's been a long time coming, man. I've dealt with some of the most harshest, you know, obstacles that you can, you know, a man could face. You know what I'm saying? And it was like destiny, man. Hitting you up there.
You ain't got to do that no more. You ain't got to do that.
Dope.
I'm gonna tell you this, and it's supposed to be a secret. And they know that, my executive producers, they probably be laughing when I say this, because in King Cole's too, because every week I got a secret. One of my mentors, is the one who signed Chris Brown. He's from Philadelphia too. And another one of my mentors is Kurt. Kurt was the president of Bad Boy, and he started his own label through Sony. And I'm gonna be meeting up with him, and he want to know what I got. So B, since you are a new artist, you'll be one of the artists that I tell him about. So don't worry about that. And you after the show, when you go to my
interview, I hate to cut you off.
Record.
Did you get that music?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, that's dope.
I heard how you talked. So I know your lyrics is good. I got discernment. I know people. I read people. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my gifts. You notice, you probably, damn, he ain't hear me rhyme yet. He's like, welcome to the family. You. I already know you was nice.
You gotta be nice.
One of the Black Thought. And dude, he's the hottest. Jay-Z and all them, nah. Go on YouTube and listen to him freestyle for 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And listen to the freestyle. And he talking about stuff that's going on and that, like, Eminem ain't nothing, man, ain't nobody. He's just very humble. He's in it for the passion. Not for the fame. He loves what he do. You got that same in it.
At the end, because he on Jimmy Fallon every night.
They were big anyway. They might not have been real big here, but they overseas, they way bigger than they. What hip hop group got a big?
They love the Roots in Philly. When they have what you call it's an annual thing. They have the Roots Picnic. They invite all the artists out. They have a Roots Picnic up there in Philadelphia, and they just, you know, they paint the town green. And, you know, I just came from Philly, like, back in February, you know what I'm saying? And I moved down here to SC. So I just came from up there. Yo, I got to enjoy, you know, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I got to see the parade and everything. Dope.
That sucks.
Dope.
That's definitely what's up. God willing, y'all both be up here for my birthday party.
Yeah, you know it got to be hot, right? All day. Well, you are in Philly right now, or?
Yeah, I'm in Philly, player.
Oh yeah, you about to have.
If I ain't in Philly, I'm in Delaware or New York. So.
Yeah. Right here, we next to GSP. A plane ticket is about 100 something.
We're gonna do this. When I get off here, y'all go on my Instagram. I'm gonna send it to you. Y'all can go right on my website.